When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ah, we continue along on a Victory Motown Monday. Yeah, if you need me, call me. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. For you to get in, Jay Gruden about an hour away on a Victory Motown Monday. The Commanders surviving 20-19 in New Orleans. Again, there's so many different things that, you know, I'd like to keep continuing to say, hey, well, what about this and what about that? What about this and what about that? And we'll break it all down throughout the week. I have not had a chance yet to watch back, you know, the entire game or anything like that. I just don't know how people do it with all the football that we're, you know, basically that is shoved down our throat. I, you know, again, had to watch the Sunday night game last night. Had to watch the late afternoon game, some interesting results from that. We'll try and go over some of that during Jay's time and clean up on aisle three. The Sunday night game last night did not help the Commanders. We'll see what happens the rest of the way in terms of that. But that was, you remember when the baby bull last week was screaming about how good baby Belichick is and thought I was crazy for thinking that the Seahawks weren't tremendous and great and, you know, all of that. How did they look last night?
They look pretty good.
No.
Oh, right. The Seahawks. Right. Oh, we were talking about the Seahawks. No, yeah. They did not look good. They were bad.
Yeah. They were very bad.
No, it was a blowout early.
He got mad at me because he said I only promote what he does wrong or what he says wrong. And I immediately attached a tweet that I had sent earlier during the day when Javonte Jean-Baptiste blew up, let his pressure off the left edge led to a J.K. Inner interception, the one to Sanristil.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, like we talked about this and J.J. and I said J.J.P. instead of J.J.B., I just shortened it, and I used the wrong last initial, so people were confused by that, and some people called me out, like Chris in Hyattsville. I'm watching you, Chris. And I said, I meant JJB, and he was all, as usual, hurt in his feelings and stuck in his feelings, and even when I give him credit, because he was mad that I didn't give him credit or that I only called him out when he was wrong. He was wrong. I tried to give him credit. He didn't understand that I was giving him credit. And then somehow, some way, that turns into my fault. I don't know. I mean, I take accountability when I'm wrong. I tell it like it is. You know, I pat myself on the back a lot. I mean, if you don't, who's going to do it for you? So I Barry Horowitz myself to death. I mean, some of you don't like that. And I hear from you. Trust me, I do. But somebody's got to point out when you're right a lot. I'm glad I was right about the Commanders winning a tight game. It was a little too tight for my liking, but I'm glad I was right about that. All right, let's get... And by the way, on New Orleans, again, their defensive line, maybe we didn't do a good enough job talking about this during last week, outside of Chase Young. But we mentioned Brian Brzee a couple of times, who's a local product. I don't know if I mentioned Carl Granderson last week on this show, but I know I mentioned him on the pregame show yesterday with D-Day and Linnell. And Cam Jordan's just been around forever, and Cam Jordan was a former first-round pick. Hell, I interviewed him in that draft process because there was a chance that the Redskins were going to take him. And he'd been around for 13 years. He was drafted in the same class as Ryan Kerrigan. Think about that. And Cam Jordan's still out there causing hell. You know, that Saints defense is not as bad as people think. Now, they struggle to stop the run, but again, this is the context of not just looking at statistics like so many of you do, and so many of my colleagues do. You can't just look at statistics and think, oh, that's going to happen exactly. So there are a lot of people that are frustrated that Washington didn't run the ball enough. And to my liking, they did not. I thought they did a poorish job. But what we don't know is how much of the game plan went up in smoke without Biadasz, one. Two, how much of that was, okay, the Saints had some troubling statistics coming in. But we know this. We know that every game is different. And sometimes they're going to play better, quite honestly, than other times. And sometimes they're going to have an opponent that they match up with better than maybe they did against the Giants or the Rams or the Falcons, meaning the Saints' defensive line. And I reminded you throughout the week that the Saints were averaging less than 16 points allowed under Darren Rizzi, their interim head coach. Less than 16 points. So anybody that thought this game was going to be easy or a walk in the park, crazy, in my opinion. And it played out exactly that way and somewhat worse. All right, back to the calls we go. Let's get to Alex and Alexandria to lead off this 2 o'clock hour on the Team 980. What's up, Alex? How are you?
I'm all right.
Alex, what's wrong, Alex? You sound like you watched a 20-19 win yesterday.
Here, but you call it like it is, and I like that. It was trash. It was a trash performance all the way around. Okay. You just mentioned that if people thought this was going to be a cakewalk, to me, I thought it would be, especially when you're playing a quarterback that was probably packing groceries somewhere because he's not an NFL quarterback.
Oh my God, he was terrible.
And then they bring this kid from college who probably didn't get any work during the week and completely toasted this defense again. I don't understand that you get to the 1 yard line and you cannot run the damn ball, not even a yard. It was a half a yard. And they end up going backwards, fumbling the ball backwards, and then settling for a field goal. It's just a terrible coaching every way around. I don't care what anybody said. The referees were garbage. Yes, this hockey league guy, he thinks he's like his dad, the number one dude. You know, he's impressive, but those were terrible calls.
Yeah.
And the clock stopped.
Yeah.
At 9 seconds, in two different times.
Mind-numbing idiocy and unawareness from the officiating crew. But let me bring you back to a point you made. It's not like they had first and goal at the one, Alex. They had third and goal at the one, and then they got sacked. Right, Cam Jordan. They had an extra offensive lineman. Cam Jordan beat. I think it was between Wiley and Cosme. I'd have to go back and double check that. But Cam Jordan got off. And again, I just mentioned him. So it's not like they were first and goal at the one and then had to kick a short field goal. It was third and goal at the one. It was first and goal at the nine, and they moved it from the nine to the one, but then they couldn't finish it off.
And let me ask you this. Why did in the second quarter, with like 30-some seconds left, 34 seconds, I'm not sure how much time it was left.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the Dan Quinn calling a timeout for? I don't understand that.
After New Orleans takes over?
Yeah.
Yeah, he called their third timeout with 43 seconds left. And I know Velma criticized him, you know, on the game. No, it was Washington had the ball. Washington had the ball. They take over at the their own 2 yard line with 50 seconds left, and he calls a third timeout with 43 seconds left. Then they run a short passing play. They get 13 on that, and then another pass that goes incomplete to end the half. It's a great question. I don't know exactly, other than I guess like people often have a problem, Alex, if you leave timeouts in the bag.
Like, yeah, but you know, it didn't matter to take it. I mean, I understand, but that was a dumb timeout.
Well,
let me ask you this.
If he takes the timeout there, right, which he did with 43 seconds left, and they run two plays, and say they run a play and they get 20 yards, 25 yards, or whatever it is, and they get out of bounds. Now, you're going to need more than that for a field goal attempt, but you don't need much more than that to try a 60-yarder, to try a 62-yarder at the end of the half that doesn't hurt you. That's what I think he was thinking. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It seemed senseless at the time, but that's what I'm sure he was thinking.
And one more point before I leave, and I don't want to mention no names, but number 25 gets in the game for one play, and that's what he's been doing all his career here. I mean, it's time to move on from 25.
Well, I think that decision is going to happen probably over the offseason, and nobody should be surprised. I mean, Benjamin St. Juste, you know, listen, we found out yesterday that Mike Sanristil, Marshawn Lattimore, and Noah Igbinoghene are pretty much going to be the top three corners, and Benjamin St. Juste is going to come in as in spot duty, and Michael Davis is going to get deactivated. That's what appears that we're going to get, and that makes sense. And, yeah, it was a costly penalty. Now, it cost them a field goal. I mean, because you combine St. Juste's penalty along with Fowler's penalty on that same drive, and you know it did not lead to the Alvin Kamara one-handed grab touchdown. It did lead to a field goal by New Orleans in the early fourth quarter with Washington up 20-7. You had St. Juste's illegal use of the hands on a 3rd-and-10 sack by Dorrance Armstrong. That's a killer. It's a killer penalty. I don't exactly know why he's out there in that spot. I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting about something. I don't know. But then you had one of the two ticky-tack penalties on Dante Fowler for roughing the passer. I thought this one was less egregious than the other one in the shadow of the end zone. But again, the quarterback kind of fell awkwardly, so maybe that threw the officiating crew off. I don't know. And that led to a 41-yard field goal. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Solomon in Maryland next up on the Team 980. Solomon, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Solomon, what's going on?
Hey, you know what? We really would have won the game outright. We have a field goal kicker problem. If you look at the game, we would have won if the field goal kicker had made just one more field goal. It would have been 23-21 if they did the two extra 2 points. We still would have been up.
Yes.
If he had made two field goals, it would have been 26-19 or 26-21.
Well, that was the only one that he missed that counted. You know, because the first one that he missed did not count.
The other one, remember, he missed the other one before that.
No.
He missed two.
No, but that one didn't count. Remember, that was at the end of the third quarter when the game clock expired at the end of the quarter. They waited 5 seconds. They didn't even realize it. It was no good, but Dan Quinn correctly got it taken off the board, and then he made the field goal when they came back to start the fourth quarter. He only missed the 54-yarder. Okay. But to your point, if he makes, you know, listen, a very makeable kick. It's a very makeable kick in today's NFL. The problem is that so many place kickers have added length to their arsenal, and they've forgotten how to have accuracy and and the timing. And yes, it was a low snap, and Tressway got it. And I thought he repositioned it fine. But maybe it threw Joseph off a little bit, or maybe they weren't aware of what I was aware, certainly, of. And I said on the radio on Friday, I said it on Twitter, I said it Sunday afternoon before the game, that Greg Joseph scared the daylights out of me because he's completely untrustworthy. But then again, so is Zane Gonzalez. And so did, as it turned out, Austin Seibert. Now, some of that was injury. And, you know, look, they're on their fifth place kicker in the new regime.
Is Seibert still with the team?
He's on IR. I think for another
two. He really was on a roll. Remember that?
Yeah, but then he got hurt. And he came back, and he wasn't right. And then they put him back.
He wasn't
on IR the first time. He missed like two games. Right. They had Zane Gonzalez fill in. Then he came back, and he missed the two field goals against Dallas. And then all of a sudden they had, you know, a groin or a hip or whatever the hell it was, and they put him on IR. So I think he's still that was the Dallas game. So Tennessee, I think he still got two games maybe one game. I can't remember.
It was one game because we brought in Gonzalez, and we've been down here. That's been our problem.
I'm saying Seibert. Seibert has at least one more game that he has to sit out. It might be two. I can't remember right now. I'd have to double check all the rules and the timing on that. But it's at least one more game that he has to sit out before you can bring him back.
The kickers have been the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, stuff happens out there on the field. We know it. All that we can complain about this and that, the kicker has been our Achilles heel in the last few games.
Yeah,
if you look at the score,
it's been a mess.
Been the kickers haven't been putting points on the board.
It's been a mess. Thank
we
you, Solomon.
Won the game 23-19.
Yeah, I hear you. It's been a mess. It hasn't been good enough. I appreciate it. Every one of them has struggled. Seibert struggled. Gonzalez struggled. Greg Joseph, completely untrustworthy. I understand he made a couple of kicks. Got it. He made that kick from 41 after missing the initial one from 41 at the end of the third quarter. And what it turns out as, you know, the beginning of the fourth quarter. Got it. It's going to cost them a game. And it almost cost them yesterday. Which feeds into my thing about Dan Quinn and Larry Izzo, the special teams coordinator, not saying, "Oh, hey, anything 55 and in, we're going to kick." No, you have to actually have to have nuance. Like people say, "Well, we made the determination in pregame warmups that anything 55 and in on this side is it." No. If he missed a kick from 41. Just a couple of minutes before that, even though there was a terrible, terrible clock misfunction, you have to keep that in mind. You have to figure that out. And yes, it was too far for them to go for it, but they should have punted on the 4th and 16 or whatever it was. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to take a lead that is 23-13. Got it. I understand. Just because the thought of what you're trying to do makes sense. Hey, we're trying to make it a two-score game. Got it. Versus I've got a really unreliable kicker from 54 that I am asking at the two-minute warning to make a huge kick. I understand Dan Quinn is more of an upside guy than a downside guy. I'm more of a downside guy than an upside guy. And I'd probably get fired because of that. But you know what? I don't trust any of these kickers. None of them. Not any of them. Not even, again... Like, Boswell might be the only guy in Pittsburgh that I trust. Jake Elliott's had a bad year. The guy in Baltimore, Justin Tucker's had a terrible year. Every one of these stupid place kickers for the Commanders have had a terrible year or terrible performances. not terrible years, but terrible performances across the board. I mean, Dustin Hopkins got benched yesterday by the Cleveland Browns before the game because he sucked this year. Place kicking across the board stinks. And DQ, I thought, again, is thinking just upside. And I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I tried to give him a little bit of, hey, I understand why you're going for it on fourth and one from your own 45 instead of punting. Again, it's fourth and one, and you've got, you know, as people call him, a cheap code in Jaden Daniels. Okay. Again, if it was at the 15, at the 20, I would not have agreed with the decision. 45 is a little bit different. I still don't love it, but I understand it. In a 20-13 game. But to kick a 54-yarder, and again, Joseph has the leg. It's not that he doesn't have the leg, but you need more than the leg. You need accuracy. And these coaches just don't get it. Again, I'm sure I'd be too conservative for a lot of people. But I would have rather trusted Tressway to punt the ball, coffin corner it, my punt coverage, make New Orleans drive 90 yards, 85 yards, whatever it was, than give them the ball at the 44-yard line. That was a bad, bad, bad decision in my book by Dan Quinn. 222, Team 980, more of your calls coming up. We'll get to DC and Calvert next when we return on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we have a trending alert coming up in just a couple of minutes. 301-230-0980. I'm not sure, maybe I'm doing a bad job presenting, you know, the game, but people don't seem to be as fired up as I thought they would be. I'm sure it's because they won in ugly fashion and people don't want to really criticize because they won. But man, would the just venom be out if they would have lost. A, for the team and all the mistakes they made, and B, really, for the officiating. I have a couple of tweets built up that I want to get to. You want to send me a message that way. It's at WrestleMania 621, at WrestleMania 621 on the old X machine. We'll get to. Again, we have a big update on Patrick Mahomes coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, let's get to D.C. in Calvert County. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
Great day, Russell. I'm well, man. How are you?
My guy, DC. I hope you had a good weekend.
Oh, man. It was a good weekend, man. A little track with my son and watched the game.
What happened with your son? Track, did you say?
Yeah. And he's doing indoor track.
Oh, good.
For this winter.
Good. Yeah, did he have a good meet? Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, good for him. Good for him. And as always, you know, anybody that's a good dad is a good dad and a good person in my eyes, because it doesn't always happen. So that's great to hear.
Indeed, salute to you, brother, man.
Thank
you. You do an excellent job as well.
I appreciate you.
But I'm glad we got the win, mm-hmm. but I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
And I'm not satisfied because we got a guy we traded for, and he hasn't played in weeks, months. We got another guy that came off IR and hasn't played the whole season, and they showed up and played well. We come off a bye week. We get to lick our wounds and get healthy, and we didn't perform the way we should have performed. We showed flashes again, but we haven't put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Biotis being out hurt us, but what happens if it happened during the game? At least this was before the game. Whoever was replacing them got an opportunity to know they were starting.
Yeah, Michael Dieter.
And
yeah.
Everybody got to come together and play better. If these guys have not played in weeks in the whole season and they showed up, everybody else has to show up as well. We got to be in sync.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Listen. In sync, more than just a boy band. it's really hard sometimes to be in sync sometimes when you're missing. I understand it's a next man up mentality, but I say this all the time. Just because it's a next man up mentality, that's the only other choice that you have, right? It doesn't mean that you, especially when you lose the center. Like, sure, center is maybe not as important as left tackle, but damn it, center is really important. And it's
center is the center of everything.
Yeah,
I understand. And I saw that there was some frustrations going on with the line, too. Like, I saw a couple times B-Rob got up and, said what's going on. I saw Jaden say that one time. They didn't let it discourage them, but ultimately, the linemen have to put it together with the new center, and the backs and the quarterback have to put it together. So whatever needed to be fine-tuned there, they should have figured that out throughout the game. You know, because we started out the game, we drove down the field, it wasn't an issue. We just got to put the ball in the end zone and not get the penalties. And, you know, it was up and down. We just got to be more consistent.
I agree. I agree with all of that. You are absolutely right, DC. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Good looking out. I appreciate you. Listen, this team is short on talent. We know that. And depth. And they haven't even had massive, massive injuries like what the Lions are dealing with. But we see the attrition, right? We see it in different ways, and here's what I mean by that. While everybody was celebrating, hey, Emmanuel Forbes got cut. We finally got rid of him. This will prove that Ron Rivera was incompetent. Okay, it was a bad draft pick. It did not work out. But it's not only, hey, man, it didn't work out, but also the assets that you had to surrender to get Marshon Lattimore. And then Lattimore comes here and misses 5 weeks and finally played yesterday, and they didn't target him, and that's great. But you get my point. It just kind of goes on and on and on. There's an attrition on this roster because Chase Young did not work out. Because Emmanuel Forbes did not work out, because Jahan Dotson did not work out, because Jamin Davis did not work out, that this administration, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and whatever, are going to have to work really hard and be super diligent at, not for 1 year, but for 2 to 3 years to make up for all the sins of the past, quite honestly. All right, time for a trending alert right here and right now. All right, we're brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes? In the state of Maryland, the key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car. Take your key. Use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. So we start with NFL news. Dan Quinn going to speak in about an hour via conference call, but Patrick Mahomes has been diagnosed with a high ankle sprain after taking a hit yesterday. Now, the Chiefs, according to Adam Schefter, quote, don't think it is bad, end quote. After testing that was done today, they'll evaluate him during the week. Here's the problem. The Chiefs play on a short week this Saturday against Houston, and then again on Christmas Day, just 4.5 days later. So they have 3 games, including yesterday's win, in Cleveland in the span of basically 10.5 days. We'll see if Patrick Mahomes plays in either of the 2 games coming up for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. We know that David Montgomery likely won't be playing anytime soon for the Detroit Lions. He's out indefinitely with an MCL sprain, according to ESPN. Also, top defensive interior lineman Aleem McNeil has been lost for the year for the Lions with a torn ACL, and starting corner Carlton Davis dealing with a fractured jaw, all according to ESPN. He'll undergo surgery, be out indefinitely as well for the Lions, who have just an absolute absurd ton of injuries. The 49ers are reportedly going to suspend Devondre Campbell for 3 games for refusing to enter the game and then walking off the field during Thursday night's loss to the Los Angeles Rams. And the Caps back on the road where they've been great. They've won 10 in a row, 21-6-2 overall. They're in Dallas tonight, 8 o'clock faceoff over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. We'll join the Bears and Minnesota in progress here on the Team 980 as part of a dual Monday night doubleheader between the Chicago Bears, Minnesota, and Atlanta, and the Las Vegas Raiders. And that's what's trending. There was nothing easy about yesterday. On Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, there was nothing easy. We'll bounce around the rest of the NFL coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. I want to get some thoughts in on Army-Navy because that was just an amazing experience as always. Listen, you know, again, I know a lot of people are kind of unsure of what to make right now of the football team. At 9 wins, I would just say enjoy not the ride necessarily because the ride could be bumpy, but enjoy playing relevant football, right? Important football. Like, think about it. This Sunday, I was thinking about this late last night. I saw the forecast on NBC4 for this Sunday. It's supposed to be like a high of 37. Now, that can change. But assuming that that's somewhat accurate, you know, we'll all be making the pilgrimage to Northwest Stadium. A lot of Eagles fans, I'm sure, but a lot of Commanders fans. And it will probably be cold and very uncomfortable. But you know what? Win or lose, the game is not just being played because you have to. Because that's what you're required to do. You're playing the game, and win or lose, it means something. It means, obviously, a lot for the Eagles, but it very much means a lot for the Commanders. You're playing relevant football. What do you got over there, Matty?
My bad.
I'm sorry.
The Costco muffin.
A Costco muffin. What makes it was just bought at Costco, or do they make muffins like a little bit different, like their
they
hot
just,
dog and soda?
They make muffins
deal.
At okay. their bakery, and okay. they're good.
All right. Attaboy. Attaboy. What kind of muffin? Sorry.
I got still have yet to swallow because.
I'm sorry. Okay, go back and swallow.
Double chocolate.
All right. Shut up now. Sorry. I caught you twice. Bad radio host. Bad radio host. Before we get to our guy Jeff in Vienna, two NFL games tonight. Chicago, Minnesota. We'll join that in progress right here on the Team 980. That's going to be joined in progress. Well, I shouldn't say. You know what? So the game I think starts at 7:30 or 7:35. So we'll join it at around 8 o'clock. After talking Terps with Mark Willard was somebody I used to work with. Sorry. Kevin Willard. Willard! From 7 to 8. Okay? So, you know, somewhere in the first quarter, we're not going to have coverage of the Kirk Cousins and Atlanta Falcons game. Against Vegas. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I told our one of our lead engineers, Daniel, in the kitchen, who's a big Falcons fan earlier. I said, man, if Kirk and the Atlanta Falcons don't throw for a touchdown, and if they find a way to lose this against the Raiders, who are playing without Max Crosby and playing for nothing but pride at this point, I mean, I just don't know, you know, what to say. And the reason why we don't have both games is because the Caps are playing starting at 7:45 in Dallas, as I've mentioned a couple of times over on the big stick. So we only have the one game, and again, we'll join that mid-ish first quarter, somewhere in that range, at 8 o'clock here on the Team 980 and Odyssey. So, you know, and that game is, that game is interesting from a matchup standpoint. Can Caleb do anything against a very, very aggressive defense by Brian Flores? Now, they're not blitzing as much as they normally do the last time I checked the numbers, but something makes me think Brian Flores is going to crank it up an extra notch tonight. That would be my guess. Against that offensive line and that quarterback who holds onto the ball too long, and yeah, makes some plays and is very talented, but got a long way to go. That's what I sense. And tying that in with Jaden Daniels yesterday. Listen, Jaden got dumped 8 times. One of them was a scramble out of bounds, no loss, and it counted as a sack. One was a minus 1 yard loss. You know, so yes, he was sacked 8 times. That's not good, but in reality, 6 times where you had a, you know, somewhat of a noticeable loss of yards. So I before you go crazy, yes, the offensive line wasn't good enough yesterday. Yes, Chase Young had a couple of sacks and a vicious chop move and was a factor and hustled, and they didn't – all of that. I got it. But it wasn't the hemorrhaging that we've seen at times from the Bears' offensive line and Caleb Williams holding on to the ball too long. It wasn't that. Like, Jaden – you know, was sharp and effective for a lot of the game until a couple of those big long misses. And the numbers ultimately did not look as good in the end as they could have. But the one criticism that I would have of Jaden, and this has been true throughout the year, is sometimes I do think he leaves a little bit too early. And certainly sometimes he misses stuff, which all quarterbacks do. But again, remember, when we see Jamison Crowder in the left flat going, ooh, woo-hoo, look at me, I'm wide open, what we don't know is, was Jaden supposed to look there? Meaning, if he's taught, hey, man, that's a fourth read or whatever on that play, you only look there if you have the time. You know, I don't know what he's taught. And I don't know what the play call calls for other than it resulted in a sack and Jamison Crowder was wide open in the left flat. You see where I'm getting at? So, like, every sack is not made the same. It's not made equal. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get to our buddy Jeff in Vienna right here on the Team 980. Jeff, you were at Army-Navy as well?
I was, Chris. Yeah, happy Monday.
Well, you know, I'd never been before. What an experience, yeah. I'll tell you.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry we missed each other. I meant to get a hold of you and whatever. I apologize for that. I had a lot going on before the game, but you were right, man. The pageantry is unbelievable. Even though the game was not what I was expecting, and I don't think it was what anybody was expecting, just the emotion and the patriotism, and I'm not, you know, Mr. Patriotic, you know, I believe America's, you know, the greatest thing in the world and all that stuff. But, I mean, just the emotion and knowing what those young men and women do on the football field after they get off the football field and what all the midshipmen and all the cadets are doing currently is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I was sitting in the Army section and the guy sitting next to me was like, well, who are you rooting for? And I'm like, well, I'm an American, so I'm rooting for both teams, but my dad was in the Navy. Mm. And the other thing that really impressed me was just walking around after both of them walked onto the field and all the cadets and midshipmen, yep, were out getting food and stuff. These are all kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some young faces,
oh,
underneath,
yeah,
those jackets, man.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah,
telling you.
Oh, there is lots, well, of – you know what? When I don't know how close you got, you know, to them at any one point. I'm sure, like, brushing past them or whatever. But there was a time where I was trapped and I couldn't get out of the seating bowl because I went to go visit a friend of mine. And I couldn't get out of the seating bowl because the Army cadets were blocking all of the entry. And, man, they were, like, basically – inches away from me, and you could see, like, I mean, this is gross, you could see the zits on their face and the pimples on their face. I mean, you know, these men and women are 18, 19, 20 years old, and we ask people to be college football players, college basketball players, college athletes at that time. We ask people to drive at that time, right? So, okay, but these people are living such a disciplined structure and lifestyle, and as well volunteering to put their lives on the line for the safety and the freedom that we all enjoy.
Yeah, I was impressed. One thing I'm not impressed with is the operation of a stadium. Coming in on Garrett Morgan Boulevard, there seemed to be a lack of cones and people directing traffic to get people into the parking lot. I don't go out there every week like a lot of people do, but it was like every man for himself getting up to the woman with the scanner to get
really?
Your ticket.
Usually they have, because that's the way I normally come in. I was with USAA on Saturday, so we came in via shuttle bus, so I wasn't paying attention, and we were in way early. But normally for Commanders games, i.e. this Sunday, we come in off of Garrett Morgan, and there's always a ton of parking people, and they won't even let you through to get up to the digital scanner if you don't show them on your phone that you have a parking pass. Normally they cut you off just north or just past the train station or the metro stop. You know what I'm talking about? So that's interesting.
Yeah,
if they didn't have
that.
Okay.
Yeah, and just for your comment, you know, on the officiating, I've said this all year. Calls like that yesterday, if you have a big amount of money on the Commanders minus 7.5 and you lost that money because of that officiating call, Goodell's going to wake up when the gambling revenue drops off because people just aren't going to put their money on the game anymore when stuff like that goes on. You know, Joe got smashed in the head again yesterday. No call. It's just getting ridiculous on game-changing outcomes, and I think that's eventually going to bleed into gambling, and that's what's going to make Goodell wake up.
Yeah, I mean, that would not be surprising at all. Now, I think it's going to take a lot for all that to happen, but you know this. Joe Burrow and the Bengals are the poster child for what they finally admitted this week. I forget who's with the league official. He used to play with the Eagles. I forgot his name. Dawkins. I forgot his name. But he said, hey, we're going to look real hard at the face mask thing. Why didn't you look at it last offseason? Why didn't you realize that, yes, face mask, especially against a quarterback and a personal foul, can be a huge, huge play that at least we have the opportunity to review if we deem it egregious? And it's almost like they literally do not think of, oh, hey, this could happen. Oh, wait. Oh, now it's a problem. Now we can look at it. Stop. Enough.
Yeah. Every week there's five or six games. I mean, yesterday, I'm not a Commanders fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm like, that is some type of crap. Oh. And then the pool report thing, what a joke that is.
We can't review it.
Yeah.
And Sean Hockley's like, I explained it, and that's it. Like, okay.
Yeah, they better not get a playoff game, that crew. Yep. That's all I got.
I'm with you. Thank you, bud. Appreciate you. Glad you had
a good
time. That's Jeff in Vienna. Yeah, if you haven't been to Army-Navy, you got to go to one. I mean, you know, maybe some of you, this was your best chance because it was in Landover. Next year's in Baltimore. That's not it's not a ridiculous drive, especially if you live in Maryland or D.C., and you can get tickets. Now, they're expensive. They're not cheap. It is, the pageantry is unbelievable. It's not, you know, like the Rose Bowl or whatever, but the patriotism, the pageantry, the emotions, the everything is so awesome. And I can't thank USAA enough for sending me 4 years in a row. It's been awesome. Love it. Can't wait for next year on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. I just tweeted this, but my guy, the Birdman, sent it to me, and the Baltimore Ravens have mutually agreed with Deontay Johnson not to release him, but to excuse him from team activities this week. Remember, they suspended him for yesterday. Not that they needed him, but they suspended him right after they played their final game before the bye. And everybody kind of forgot about it because it's been a couple of weeks. He did not play yesterday because he was suspended. And now they have mutually agreed to excuse him from team activities this week, which essentially is a suspension. I don't know if they're going to pay him or not. I don't care. But between Deontay Johnson and And Devondre Campbell, enough. Enough. Go and suck on your thumb and go crawl back into a hole, and we should never, ever, ever have to deal with you again. You don't deserve to play in the National Football League. Enough. All right, Jay Gruden will join us in just a couple of moments, so we want to squeeze in one last one here before the top of the hour, and then everybody we will try and get to on the other side. Let's get to Teddy in Silver Spring on the Team 980. What's up, Teddy? How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, Ted. What's going on?
I just want to say you were right, man. I just want to say that. The other day, you know, a caller gave you a hard time about mentioning how we should run on Chase Young. And when I was watching the game, it seemed like he took the same pathway on his rush that, you know, Jaden Daniels could have taken off and just run down his backside the entire time. But you made the point of that, and, you know, a caller was giving you such a hard time on why should we even be concerned about Chase Young. I mean, we made him look like, you know, Myles Garrett yesterday. So I just, to your point, was seeing the same thing in terms of the way that he attacked his rush, and I didn't understand why we didn't rush on his side more.
Yeah, I appreciate it humbly. I appreciate you, you know, listening that much and recognizing that and calling and taking the time. That means a lot to me, first of all. We'll say that. I really appreciate it. Secondly, I'm with you, man. I just don't understand how they didn't run more toss cracks, more off tackle, you know, and how much of that got blown up with Biadasz, I don't know. But you know what? Not everything should have been blown up with Biadasz. And there wasn't a lot there. I remember one run where Brian Robinson got five because he bounced it out to the left, which is Chase Young's side, and he ran around the edge because there was immediate penetration up the middle. And maybe that spooked them a little bit. I don't know. But my goodness, from the get-go, I got tweets, and I noticed the same thing. It was a lot of Jaden run, a lot of Jaden scramble, a lot of Jaden pass, and there just didn't seem like there was any commitment to establishing the run and really being effective by it, and I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Teddy. I appreciate you, and thanks for listening so good and being kind enough to call in. I appreciate that. I mean, listen, I pat myself on the back a lot because I need to, but it's always nice when you get validation from somebody else. 3 o'clock, straight ahead. We will get back to the calls on the other side. Just hang in there of Jay Gruden. He will join us, the former Washington head coach. His former organization now in the win column for a ninth time. We'll talk about all the controversy and all of the officiating and all of the interesting decisions next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.